Everyone, it's Caroline Harris, and you're listening to The Actors Lounge.
Hey guys, and welcome back to an all-new episode of The Actors Lounge. I'm your host, Melanie Victor, and today we have with us a very special guest. Please welcome to the show, actor Caroline Harris. Hi, Caroline. How's it going?
Hi, Mel. It's good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm really happy to have you on the show, so thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I am getting caught up now on Bruh.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, so I'm still in season one, but I'm getting caught up. And so, yes, I've been introduced to Valerie. Obviously, she was in the very first scene, so.
Yes.
And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like so excited to talk to you. You know, just kind of talked about like the character and just your experience on the show. Also, yeah. You know, your journey as an actor. So we'll get into Bruh and Valerie a little later.
Yes. I have some good stories from filming and from actually from, you know, getting that part. So I'm looking forward to talking about that one.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing about that. So
yeah.
I always like to start at the beginning. I know you're originally from Chicago, but, you know, you now live in L.A. So tell us, how did you get your start acting? Like, where did that journey begin for you?
Yeah, so I grew up in Chicago and I went to college, you know, at Northwestern. So stayed in Chicago for the first 22 years of my life. And I got interested in acting when I was 15 years old. And, you know, there's a lot of really good theater in Chicago. And my mom would take us to see whatever musical was in town or go to Steppenwolf or something like that. And this is kind of a corny story, but it's absolutely true. I went to go see Wicked when I was 15. And I was sitting there just entranced, as I feel like almost every other 14 or 15 year old at that time was with that musical. It was so popular.
Yeah.
And it stayed in Chicago for a while and they had a lottery. So if you went 2 hours before the show and you put your name in a hat, they would draw 10 names and whoever those 10 names were, you could buy two tickets for $25 and they were in the front row. And so we just started doing this obsessively, my sisters and I, and we went down there and we, you know, would win, I don't know, like once a month or something like that. And we would go and I would sit in the front row just with my neck craned up watching these actors. And that was really what made me want to start acting. And so after that, I started taking musical theater classes, but found out that I'm not the best singer. And so I was like, how can I keep going with this? And so then I started just taking acting classes and, you know, studied it in college. And then I went to grad school for acting and that's kind of how I went. But it all started with that musical and just being in the front row. And I think that, you know, experience of being so close, was something that really got me hooked and wanting to do exactly what I saw these actors doing, you know, 5 feet away from me. So that was how it began. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. Like you were engulfed from theater, you know, like just watching a performance, like, you know, Wicked, like I'm sure that was just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
It was. And you know what? I used to be embarrassed telling the story because I was like, oh gosh, it's so corny because Wicked is just the most commercial musical out there, right? But it's my story. It's true. And it really, you know, there's something about musical theater for me, and I still love musical theater. Something about it that is so present. And it's so alive. And yeah, I did theater for most of my life. I, you know, I hadn't done any on camera work at all until grad school. We had one quarter or semester where we did on camera acting, and then we did a short film. And that was my first taste of ever doing anything. Wow. Any type of screen acting. So it was all theater for me.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask you. So while you were there, you know, taking in the acting from Wicked and just like being mesmerized by that, I was wondering, was it the goal to be a theater actor to do that? Or was it like, I want to be an, you know, actor, I want to do theater, I want to be on TV film? Or was it just like, I want to do theater?
It was theater. I mean, so after I graduated from, I graduated from Northwestern and I moved to New York. You know, Northwestern had a showcase there, so we did that. I ended up working with it was an agency, I believe, not a manager. I had an agent, I spent a year in New York, and it was kind of a year of cluelessness. That's what I would call it for myself. I signed with this agent, and they were great. They were lovely people, but it wasn't the right, fit for me. But because I was so kind of desperate to have representation and try to do, follow the steps that I thought I needed to, I worked with them, and I did a lot of, open calls and waiting in line all day, and stuff like that, which either, I know that can sometimes work, but it didn't work for me. I didn't really get anywhere with it. I did a couple smaller plays, a couple festivals, which were great learning experiences, but no way was I going to make a living doing that. So, I was, reassessing when I was in New York and trying to figure out how I was going to make this work. And I ended up applying to two grad programs, two grad ad acting programs, because I felt like I was lost, honestly. I know some people go to grad school, and they're very intentional about it. And mine was, I think I needed structure again, and I needed something that I couldn't really articulate, but I needed it. And so luckily I got into Lambda, which is in London. I did a 2-year acting program there. They have three programs. They have a 1 year, a 2 year, and a 3 year. So the 2 year is kind of this accelerated drama school experience for people who have already gone to college. So we're a bit older than the people doing the 3 year, who are usually like 18-year-olds, and that is their college, or uni, as they call it. So I went there, and again, focused on theater, 2 years of just stage until we had that last little bit at the very end of our second year of screen acting, and I really liked it. I was really challenged by this just different, exciting thing where you could do something and then you could watch it back and analyze what you were doing, and then you could do it again and do something different and watch it and see things in your classmates' eyes, and it was just really cool to me. So I was kind of taken by that.
Wow, so then from that point, was it like, okay, I would like to pursue TV and film as well? Or was it,
Yeah, so
okay, okay.
it was a combo of a, so again we so we graduated, we had two showcases, one in New York and one in LA, and I ended up getting, this is another funny story, but I ended up getting a ton of meetings in LA and zero offers, which I feel like is, I was like, I'm moving to LA, I've got all these meetings, I'm surely someone's going to sign me, and I had all these meetings and got nothing. But I was like, well, I'm here. But I knew I didn't want to go back to New York, because I was just like, gosh, I want to try something new. And I had gotten to the point of honestly telling myself, well, which way is an easier way to make a living? And you just get paid more. And not only did I find it exciting and I wanted to try something new, but I started thinking, well, how can I make a living? And so that's what made me ultimately move to LA and try something new.
Okay, so
So, yeah.
that makes sense. I've definitely heard that before from different actors I've talked to who that was their focus, stage, theater, that's what they wanted to do. And then they kind of got introduced to TV, film, or like on screen, and they were just kind of like, wow, I'm like fascinated by this. I like this. It's different. And I could actually make a living. You know what I mean? So then they choose LA. So I've definitely heard that before. That's like a familiar thing that I've heard. Yeah,
And
so
it's not the whole part of it.
yeah, of
It's
course, of
but
course.
it's definitely like I'd say 30% of it is like, well, gosh, I really enjoy this thing. It's really challenging and therefore fun, and it's exciting to have to, be ready to do something, whether it's pouring your heart out or laughing or crying, on like, whereas theater, you kind of build this atmosphere and you don't break it. But with film, it's broken. So it's exciting to try to do something like that. But then you're also like, well, I also want to, make some money and be able to live and
Yeah.
someday have a family. So,
Yeah, I mean, that's a
those
goal
things.
for a lot of
Yeah.
people.
So,
So,
yeah.
what was your experience at? Is it Lambda? Lambda?
Yes,
Okay.
Lambda.
What was your experience with that program?
I needed it because I, as I mentioned, I grew up in Chicago. I went to Northwestern, which is like 45 minutes away from my home. I needed to just get away and become my own person. So that was a big part of it for me was I was, for the first time, even in New York, I had my sister lived in New York at the time. I just had family. But when I moved to London, I was completely on my own and I had to learn how to pick myself up when things went wrong. And so there was a huge just personal growth experience while I was out there, but it was also the first time in my life that I had vocational training. So Northwestern was great because, we had an acting class that we had, the same teacher, same classmates for 3 years, and we had that type of acting training. But we still, had to do tons of other classes in different schools and, lots of general requirements. And so when I was in London, we were extremely focused. I didn't have to write anything. It was, practical training. And that's what I needed. Just 2 years of really intense, 12-hour days of practical training. And I think that's where I think that's where things came together for me. And I developed my own, my own routine of or what I do when I approach a part. That's where it happened. And it was really, so it was really hands-on for me. It was really exactly what I needed, even though I was applying as kind of an escape from my situation in New York. So,
Yeah, that's
yeah.
awesome because you said prior to that, New York kind of was like a clueless stage, like you that the year
Yeah.
of Clueless, and going there, it just kind of helped pull everything together. Because I know I've been there before, where I'm just like, I just feel lost. I don't, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
like what am I doing
I was
here?
lost. Yeah, exactly. And
Yeah.
there are so many people, and you're just like, wait a minute. I am just a small person here, and I don't know what to do. So.
So do you feel that that experience prepared you then for once you got, 'cause you went to LA, how long after you graduated?
Yeah. So I went immediately. So we had
Oh,
a
okay.
showcase right after graduation. And I, the showcase, we graduated in July. The showcase was in September or something, and I was there in October. And I lived with my cousin in LA for the first 3 months while I was trying to figure out if I was going to stay or, whatever. But I basically was just there and
Okay.
had made that decision to be there.
Okay. So what was the early days like for you in LA? Like what was that transition like for you?
Yeah, it I well, the year of cluelessness in New York kind of helped me because I was like, all right, these are the mistakes I made in New York. And now I feel more confident with my craft, and so I'm gonna just really hustle, honestly. So I moved to LA and had all these meetings and none of them panned out. And most of them said, you don't have any footage. We liked what you did in the showcase, but you have this tiny little student film and you don't really have much. So, why don't you go out there and build a reel? So that, and that was basically what, the majority of them told me. So I was like, all right, well, this is, I got to build a reel. So what I did was I did, that Actors Access Pass where you can just blindly submit, if you buy the year, I would recommend to anybody buy the yearly pass of Actors Access because if you're having to, pay like $2 or something per submission, it's gonna deter you from just putting yourself out there. But if you've already paid for it and it's free, so I just did that and I would submit myself every single morning to all of these student films. And so I spent a lot of time on USC's campus doing auditions for the student films.
Nice.
Yeah, I did a couple of those. I worked at a sports bar because I knew that I wanted to keep my days free. I promised myself I wasn't going to do anything during the day except try to do, try to act. And then I started work at 4:30, which is still, that's enough daytime to have an audition. So
Yeah.
I would work at 4:30 at a sports bar. And so that was kind of how my days went. I would try to submit. Some days I'd have no audition, so I would just try to conserve my energy before going to work. I wrote emails. I would, find agents' emails on IMDb and research them and try to find some way to personally connect with them in my email. And then I would submit emails and got a few meetings from that. And, none of this stuff really panned out. I
Yeah.
was doing short films, but none of the blind calls panned out. And then I did another showcase
Okay.
about a year after being in LA. I did a showcase, and that's where I ended up getting my manager, and that's when things started to click a little bit. But yeah, I did a lot of, I always say student films to anybody who's mo just moving here, because not only can you build a reel, because they've got to get the footage together for their class, so you're gonna most likely get that footage. But it's just good experience. I learned a lot.
Yeah, I've
And
heard
so.
that's what I hear a lot of people say. Yeah, get into those student films because, like you said, they have to get their material together. So you're gonna more than likely you're gonna get some footage, and that's a way to build your reel because, how else are you gonna do it? But how, like, that's just a way that makes sense to do it if you're really trying to do it.
Totally. I really, and the USC, those kids, like, they make so many films, and they're good. They've got great equipment. And so that was a really good experience working with them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
Now, did you 'cause you mentioned earlier just like, being, I think you, I don't know, maybe in New York you're with an agent. It wasn't necessarily like the best fit. Knowing what you know now and just other actors that are listening, like what I know and I know everyone's different, but what are some of the things to look for with an agent or like what's a way to like make sure it's a good fit and make sure you have like a good relationship with your agent?
Yeah, there are a couple things that I know now that I just feel like I'm lucky because both of my reps I do feel this way about them, but at the time that I got them, I don't think I was thinking this way. And it's really hard to think this way when you need someone, right? It's hard. But what I would encourage people who are trying to get reps to look at is, listen, they need you, right? They only make money if you get a job. So what do they offer you? Do they have somebody, do they have somebody who's kind of your type already? Look at their IMDb and see how many clients they have. Are you going to get a lot of attention, or do they have like 2,000 people? It's really hard to get an agent's attention if you haven't really booked a lot of work yet and they have 2,000 people. They're simply going to be focused on whoever's making them money at the time. And so, looking at maybe getting a manager who has a smaller list of clients, that could be helpful because then they will be focused on you. So things like, how many people do they have? Are they just stacking their books with people who look like you, and then they're going to submit all 15 of you for the project and not really care what if you get it as long as one of those 15 does? So it's more about like, assessing whether they're going to be good for you in terms of size. So I guess what I'm saying is my manager doesn't have that many clients, and that was important for me to have a lot of hands-on time with them. They ended up connecting me with my agent about a year and a half of just having my manager. Then they set me up with my agent, who agencies are definitely bigger than management companies. They have a lot more clients. That's just the way it is. But I felt like we connected in our meeting because we have like similar interests. My agent wants to see people like me, or people of color getting these roles. We connected on that. We so just making sure that you have something in common with them as opposed to just begging them to take you. I think that that's something and that's important to look at. And then following up, because I didn't get a big job when I was with my agent for a little while. So sometimes, I would drop by. I would let them know I was coming, but I would drop by for 10 minutes. I was always like, I'm not going to overstay my welcome. 10 minutes, and I'm going to drop by, say, I'm going to look really nice, and I'm going to say hello, bring some donuts, maybe bring, a little Starbucks, and then I'll get out of there. And I think I did that twice with my agent, and always after that, I would like have an audition or two more. And I was like, maybe it's a coincidence, but also like, remind them who you are. So yeah, I think those would be my little tidbits of advice when looking for reps.
Yeah, that's helpful. And do you think it's how some actors will say like, "Oh, I haven't heard, it's been over a month," or, "I haven't heard from my agent or manager." Like, in those cases, what do you think is the best thing to do? Like, should, obviously reach out, or do you think there comes a time where it's like, okay, maybe this is not a good fit, like I need to move on? Like, how, when do you know,
That's hard because, sometimes it is just slow. Sometimes, like, nobody's really getting that many auditions unless you're getting offers without having to audition. Like, I just went through a slow period. I was like, wait a minute, what's happening this past month? But I think that in the beginning, you need to, even when you have reps, you need to still be submitting yourself. So in the beginning, keep putting yourself out there, keep doing, like, I submitted I had my agent and manager for like a year and a half, and I submitted myself for this film, and it ended up being picked up by Lifetime, and that ended up opening some doors for me, and I submitted myself for that. So that, sometimes you just have to keep doing things for yourself, and when it's slow, because there might be other, smaller things that might turn into something bigger. But I'd say, like, it doesn't hurt to ever check in, like, once. But I think once it becomes more of a nagging thing, then you're gonna be like, oh gosh, so and so has emailed me again. I really don't want to open this email, or, and instead, I think, obviously you can't do this right now because of COVID, but when it is slow, that's kind of when I encourage someone to be like, hey, do you mind if I'm in the area? Do you mind if I drop by for 10 minutes just to say hi? Like, sometimes that can do you better than an email, because again, they get like 1,000 emails a day. And so it can be hard to stand out in a positive way when you're sending a follow-up email. So,
That's true. Yeah,
yeah.
that's true. So,
But,
oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
oh no, I was just gonna say, but it's hard when things slow down, even if it's been busy. Like, I had a really busy first bit of this year, from like January to April, and then my May has been really slow. I've had like two auditions, and so I sit here thinking, shoot, what am I doing wrong, or what do I need to do? But now, I've been with my same reps for a while, so it's easier to pick up the phone and ask them, because I can't see them in person. Just ask them, what's up, and usually they'll be able to say, yeah, it's a little bit slower for you right now. And then they'll maybe give me a little overview of what's going on with everybody else, and it makes me feel a little bit better. But it's just the nature of the business.
Yeah, it's
So.
like you're definitely gonna have those slow periods. So I think, like you said, it's knowing and being able to have that relationship with your reps so that you can reach out. And you're not like, there's not a disconnect, and you don't come off annoying. You can have that open dialogue, like, hey, just want to check in, see what's going on. And then they can be honest and be like, okay, this is what's happening. And it puts you more at ease because you do know the ups and downs of the industry. So yeah, that's good. That's good. So I was gonna ask you something that slipped my mind.
It's okay.
So when you got your first, like, oh, that's what I was gonna ask you. It just came back. So when you got to LA, did you do other like acting classes or training, or did you film?
I did. So when I first moved to LA, everybody and their mother was like, oh, I have a friend there that you should meet, or, and so I went to like, 20 coffees with everybody that my family thought that they should, that I should meet. And one person, my aunt, was roommates with this actor in college. And so she set me up in a coffee with her, and we just clicked. And she is actually, kind of like a mentor to me. She has been ever since I moved here. But she was like, yeah, you always want to be in a class. And I was like, but I just finished grad school. Like, I don't need more acting classes. Which is wrong. You should, I needed a class. So I started taking a kind of a private coaching type class from one of her friends who was a casting director named Jay Scully. He used to be a casting director, but then he did a ton of coaching on set, and now he does like a coaching class. And that was extremely helpful. So I took class from him, on a weekly basis. But then I took a break from that because I think he took a break from doing that to go teach a college. So then I went to Margie Haber's studio for a while. And I really liked them. They've got their method. And I thought it was interesting to learn, like, they're really into breaking down like a script for an audition. And that was really helpful at the time. So I did that for a bit. And now I haven't been doing anything because I struggle with Zoom learning.
Yeah,
So
it's
I
not
will
for
probably,
everybody.
yeah, it's really tough. So I'll be back in a class hopefully next year when we're able to do stuff like that. But I generally am always in a class.
Yeah, it's good to know because, like, you did go to school for and did some pretty intense training. So I was just wondering, like, what your mindset was around that. Like, once you got to LA, did you continue on taking training, taking classes?
And it's just sometimes for your mental health, or at least for mine, like having such joy from being able to act. Like sometimes you can get that joy just from being in class and it will change your day. And so, Margie Haber's like twice a week. So twice a week when I was going through slow periods, wow, that means twice a week I'm really inspired as opposed to 0 times a week. So I think class can be more than just learning. It can be a source of joy.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Valerie.
Oh, Valerie. All right, let's talk about her.
Yeah, so you played Valerie on Bruh, and like I said, I'm not fully finished with the first season. I'm working on it. But yeah, okay, and maybe there are people who are listening that have not even watched the show, which I definitely recommend because it's a really good show. And I
Yeah,
had an
thanks.
opportunity to interview some of the other actors on the
Oh,
show.
yeah?
Yeah, I haven't released their
Nice.
episode. That was this month, May. I'm gonna be releasing episodes soon, but I had an opportunity to interview Regina, the character that plays Regina. Yeah,
Oh, yeah, Candace.
Candace.
I love Candace.
Yeah, and also
She's
Alyssa.
great. Oh, great. Yeah, they're both great.
So, tell everyone about your character,
Yeah, well, my
Valerie.
character, she's misunderstood. No, I'm just
Okay.
kidding. I think I'm the only one who would call her misunderstood, but I actually have a really good audition story that I want to share
Oh
with you
yeah.
about getting that part. But Valerie is a nurse, and she kind of, well, Bra is about four guys, right? Just four guys who are living their lives in Atlanta, working professionals, and kind of they're working their way through their lives, whether it be relationships, job stuff, family drama. So, my character kind of had a thing with the doctor, one of the bras, Tom, and I basically make his life a living hell, if I can say that. kind of, putting him through the ropes at work, because we had, what I thought was the beginning of a relationship, but he didn't feel that way. It's the first time I got to play somebody who wasn't nice, or wasn't like,
Put together, polished.
yeah. So it was really fun. It was really fun to do something different. But yeah, can I share the audition
Yeah, of
experience? Because I
course.
think some
Please
people
do.
would really like relate to this.
Oh
Or
yeah,
so
I was gonna ask you like what that process was like too. So yeah, let's do it.
I kind of did a little. So usually, okay, I'll just start with the facts. So I went in for Alyssa's character. And why am I forgetting her name? But I went in
Cameron?
for Alyssa. Yeah, Pam.
Yeah.
I went in for Alyssa's character in person, for Kim Coleman. Did that audition, left feeling really like, dang, I didn't do my best. And I had been going in a lot for Kim, so I was like, shoot. I felt like I had a relationship with her. And I was like, man, that wasn't my best work, what I did in the room. And it just so happened that my audition was in the morning, and then my coaching class with Jay Scully was in the afternoon. So I went to class, and class kind of starts with a debrief of how's everybody doing, because it's so small. There are like five of us. So I was like, how is everybody doing? And I'm like, man, I had this audition this morning, and I didn't feel good about it. I feel like I just was really average. And so Jay was like, well, let's work on it. So, because the way his class is structured is that, each person in class gets about half an hour to work on whatever you bring in, and he tapes it. So, tapes it like it's an actual audition. So we worked on it. We did it again, and at the end of class, my friend Emily Skaggs, who's also an actor, she said, "Caroline, you should send that in. Send that in. You have a relationship with Kim Coleman. Like, why not? Just why not?" So I was like, "Okay, yeah." Everybody's like, "Yeah, send it in." So I was like, "Okay." I felt much better about what I did. So my teacher, sent me the stuff immediately after class. I sent it to my manager and said, "Can you please send this to Kim Coleman with this little note?" And I can't remember what I said in the note, but it was something like, "Gave it a second crack in class," or something, whatever, something really short. So they sent it, and then like 3 weeks later, I got a producer session. So I had gotten, for Pam. So I was like, oh my gosh, my tape worked, like my second chance worked. Either it was that or my first audition wasn't bad. Whatever it was, I got a call back. And so I had a producer session, and that was with Tyler Perry and Kim Coleman and a couple other people, producers in the room. I'm forgetting names while I'm on a spot. But so I went in as Pam again, and I did the first, I kid you not, three lines, maybe two, of like a long scene. And Tyler Perry was like, stop, basically. And I could not. I was like, oh, inside I was like dying. I was like, oh no, like what did I do?
What was your
And
face
he
like,
was
though?
like,
Did you hold it
it
together or no?
probably I well, I think I kept it together, but like I
Who
don't know if I did.
knows? Yeah.
But he was like, so he was like, stop. And he but then he was like, you're reading really well, you're doing wonderfully, but you are not right for this part. And so then I was like, oh gosh, okay. And then he like kind of turned around and was like talking to some of the producers, and then they're like, let's give her the sides for Valerie. And so I was like, oh, second chance, like I went from like crushed to, oh, okay, another opportunity. So they were like, take 20 minutes and come back in. So then I went out. It was only like 3 pages, I think, the Valerie thing. So I memorized it completely because, being in class, you're always memorizing. So I was able to memorize, which I later learned is a really big thing, working on bra and like
So I
sisters and all those,
hear.
because we film so much. Yeah. So I learned it, went back in with Mahdi, who plays Tom. He was there, and we read together, and I could see that I had won them over with that. And and so I left and I went to my car and I emailed my manager and agent immediately, telling them what had happened, like the switch, but how I felt I dealt with the switch really well, and I was really happy with what I did. And then like 3 days later, I found out I had gotten the part. But also I learned that that night of the audition, that I had been placed on a hold or whatever, but my reps didn't tell me, because I think they thought that like a couple times I had been placed on hold, and I remember I got really excited and then I didn't get it before this. So they were like, I
They're trying
guess
to
they were just
protect
like,
you.
yeah. But I was just like, oh
Yes.
my gosh, you guys knew
Oh my
that I was at least on
gosh.
hold. So and then I found out I got the part. So that for me is like a persistence, right? Like if you don't feel like you did something right, why not send another tape?
Man, that's amazing.
and stuff like that. So I really like that was my first really big job.
Wow.
And yeah, so
That's
that
huge.
was.
I love how you sent that second tape in. I mean, you know what I mean? And I think it's good because you said you felt like you had a relationship with Kim. Like, okay, look, this is good work here. Like, I can do this, so let me just send this. You know, it's like, what's wrong with that? You know, like, all they can do is not watch it or just say no. But to even try, I think that's huge. And then getting in the room with, I mean, that could be so intimidating. So that's why I think as actors, we just got to be ready. Like, you got to be able to, you know, not crack under pressure. Because, like, when you said Tyler Perry said stop, my whole heart dropped. I
Oh,
was
so did mine.
like,
I was just like, oh my gosh. First of all,
yeah.
like, this was my first producer session. I didn't even know he was gonna be there. So like, it was just a whole new thing of like just a lot of pressure. So you just yeah, but it worked out. And I'm just glad he had, because some people don't have the vision to be like, oh, this person's not right for this. Let me see if they're right for this. Some people will just be like, nope, next. And so I feel really grateful that, but he's just that type of person where he tries to uplift people and give them a chance. And so I was glad that he saw on the spot that I was more right for another type of character.
I love that. And then shout out to you for going out there, learning those lines and showing up. 'Cause yeah, like, and especially like I always it's funny because every actor that I interview that's worked with Tyler Perry, I always act like as if I've worked with him too, which I haven't, but I feel like I have because I've talked to so many people and you guys have a lot of like consistent stories, a lot of similar themes, you know? So I know he works so quickly and fast. You got to be like on it. So the fact that you went out there, you know, memorized those lines and came in and did it, I know that was like, oh yeah, she's perfect.
That was something I didn't know either. I didn't know like that the memorization was gonna be that was so important. So I was glad that I just did it and and even if you're not word perfect, right? You just go with it
Just,
because you know what your objective is, you know what's going on. So and then you just go with it because when you're working, I don't know if Candace and Alyssa talked about this, but when you're working, he'll just roll and you can just go and just improv. And sometimes he'll feed you lines and then you'll go off of that. So some of the scenes with Tom, we were just going like improvising. And Tyler Perry is kind of like he's coaching you kind of, because he'll feed you lines because he writes it. So he's kind of doing rewrites while we're rolling. And it was just really fun. You just
So
have to
you're
really.
actually rolling and he's like on the side
Oh,
like
yeah.
throwing stuff and then you just go with it. Like that's a
Yeah. So
wow.
sometimes he'll be like, tell him this, and so then you wait a beat, right? So the editing can work out, and then you start improvising, starting with that line, and it's really helpful. It's really freeing, and we work really fast, so you get like one or two takes, and so it's kind of like, it's kind of like theater where you just kind of. You go. You come in with all this prep and then you do it, and that's how it is. And it's so you can have two reactions. You can either be really scared by that and kind of shut down, or you can just embrace it and be like, well, this is me and this is what I'm going to give. And whatever happens, happens. And I trust them to edit it in the editing room to make it work.
See, this is why I love talking to everyone has like a different experience because I never heard that. I didn't know he like feeds lines and like you just kind of, you know, like that's so insightful. And I think I'm pretty sure your like you said, your theater training has really prepared you for to work in an environment the way how he works.
Yeah, I think so. I think yeah, it's pretty helpful. And he did a lot of theater and wrote all those plays. So I think that's kind of where he gets
His style.
his style from, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you know, you got the job, you found out you got it, and you came to shoot. Like what was your mental state like? Were you like excited, nervous? Like how did you
Oh,
feel
I
going
was
into
nervous. I was so nervous because the very first scene of Bra, like the very first thing that we shot was my scene with Tom.
Wow, very
And it
first.
was, yeah, very first. And I was really nervous. But once we got that out of the way, I felt great. Like it's, and I've noticed that on all of my shoots, the first scene, the first day is really hard. I feel really nervous. I sweat a lot. I'm just like really, really nervous. And it takes like a day, and then I feel like it's playtime after that. And you know, it's kind of like the first day of school of who's not going to be nervous. You have like 75 people watching you, and you don't know them. And so that's always the hard thing for me. It's like, oh gosh, there's so many people. Like that's why I think the hardest thing to do are when you have three lines and you're a co-star, because you're only there for one day. You don't know any of these people. You're like the least important person on set, and you got to perform. Like you got to do it. And it's hard. And then you go home and you never go back. Like it's just hard.
Such
That's
a
the
tease.
hardest. Yeah. So, but the first day there was very, intimidating, because also like, being directed by someone like Tyler Perry is intimidating. But I remember he gave me a high five after that first scene. And I was like, all right, here we go. This is gonna be fun.
Yeah, that's so good.
Everybody, yeah. So, and everybody was so kind.
That's awesome.
So,
I love
yeah.
to hear that 'cause I can imagine how nerve-wracking that is. Like how you just feel nervous, but then after you do it, it's like, okay, I got this. Like this is we're gonna all make this work. We, like let's play. You know what I mean? It's like switching that mindset. That's really empowering. I love to hear that. Wow. So, how long did you were you 'cause you were in 14 episodes, right?
I was in, I know it says 14, but I think I was in 12, unless they must have cut it differently. I know that I had 12. Yeah, I was in 12, but maybe they cut it differently. But 12 episodes. We were all out there for the same amount of time. Or maybe, no, I left. Some people were out there doing like pickup shots or shots in the car because we shot most of it in the studio and then they did some exteriors. I was gone by then, but we were all out there for like 2.5 weeks. It was pretty fast.
Wow, that's quick.
Yeah, we shot pretty fast, like a couple episodes a day.
That's
But it,
awesome.
we were jumping around a little bit, so but yeah, like I was in 12 episodes, but I think I had like a couple scenes per episode. So, people like Alyssa and Candace and all the guys, they were constantly memorizing, constantly learning all of their lines because they had so much more to do than I did. And it was intense. But we also like there's support for that. Like there are people in the studio that are helping you learn your lines. Like they're with you in the room. So there's a lot of support,
That's great.
which makes it a lot easier. You're not just on your own, like trying to learn in your own little trailer, no help. There are people there with the studio that help you rehearse.
That's
So,
good. Yeah.
yeah.
That's really good. It just sounds like it's such a environment that's set up to help you win. Like
It
not
really
like yeah,
is.
like as long as you show up, there it's an environment that's like really rooting for you.
That's exactly how it is. And that's why I'm glad that it was my first big job because it gives me, it still to this day gives me I don't know what the word is, but maybe just a sense of it's going to be okay or a sense of calm, a sense of yes, you can do something like this. Like yes, you can have a recurring role and be in 12 episodes and bring someone from point A to B. Like, yes, you can do that. Even if that you haven't gotten a second opportunity to be recurring in that way, in that major way, you did it. You've done it. So you've proven that you could do it. And I'm just lucky I have that.
Yeah, it gives you confidence. Like, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it and I can do it again. You know, like,
Right.
I'm ready for the opportunity. And then also the style and the way he works. Like, I can imagine that you feel so prepared for anything after that, you know,
Yes.
right?
That's exactly true because then, I did a couple things right after that where we did like 50 takes, you know what I mean? And I'm like, "Oh, I get another." Like, "Wow, like this is great." But it really teaches you not to wait for something to happen. You got to bring it right away. There's no warm up. Like the warming up you do is by yourself. And when you get there, you got to be ready, even if it's shot number one. And so that's actually a really good lesson that I learned was that I got to be ready to go. There's no warm ups.
Now, what would you say? So, looking back at just that experience, working on Tyler Perry, on Bruh, what would you say, looking back, is the if actors, who haven't worked with Tyler Perry and desire to work with him, what advice would you give them to be, prepared? Like, how, what's the best way they can prepare themselves to be ready?
To be ready, I think, well, one, just be professional. Like, again, within that there is no warm up. So if you ever are reading for, if you're ever auditioning for a part for him, even if it's not in front of him, so even if it's like the first round, just be completely memorized. That's so important, being completely memorized. Being yourself, because if you're not right for who you're reading for, you might be given something else. I think those are the two. Like, be memorized and be yourself. Don't try to put on something else because then he won't be able to see who you are and won't be able to, put you somewhere else if you need. Because I actually think, I don't know if my story has happened to other people, but I feel like, sometimes he'll see someone on set and be like, "Oh, I really like this person. They're going to be right for my other show." He did that happen. I saw him do that once on set. Somebody was doing something. She had a really small part, and he was like, "Wow, you're fantastic." And then he said to somebody on set, "Hey, remember, get her information after, so because of whatever show he was about to do after ours, because he's doing so many shows." So that's it's just make an impression. Because he has an excellent memory, and so he will remember you.
Wow, that's incredible. Okay, great advice, great advice. Now I want to talk a little bit about just like, just over the years of your journey and pursuing acting. Like, what would you say has challenged you the most, and how have you overcome those challenges?
What's challenged me the most? I think the aspect of this industry that challenges me the most is just the inconsistency. So I think I still even really struggle with this, where if I do have a slow period or if I'm not booking, it's hard. It's really hard to feel. You can sometimes get scared that you're never going to work again, or that you're missing your shot, or those thoughts can really swirl, and I just have to deal with that. That's the hardest thing, and I think a lot of actors must feel this way, where it's like, oh, we work you work sometimes you get really lucky and you work like crazy. Like, I the end of 2019, even beginning of 2020, before we knew what COVID was, because it was, I did a movie in February 2020, and that was COVID, obviously, was out and about, but we just didn't know. So the end of 2019 into early 2020 was great for me, and then obviously it all stopped. And I did work, I did a movie for the Paramount Network in September of 2020, so I did have one bubble shooting experience. But even, after that, and you're just, when am I going to work again? And that's the hardest thing. You just have to tell yourself, I will work again. So the feelings I'm feeling right now are just unnecessary because you will work again. But there will be periods of time where you just feel like you're not getting anything. And that's hard because that's your job, And so it just, that's the hardest part for me. There have been little struggles, I think, when I'm working, like feeling like, sometimes your nerves or working on big sets, you feel again kind of like you have to. I think a lot of people step on set and they're like, why am I here? Like kind of imposter syndrome. And I think a lot of people deal with that, but I really, really deal with that a lot. And so my first, as I said, my first day is really hard, but like, especially when you're stepping onto a set with a lot of celebrities, again, it really flares up. It's like, oh gosh, why me? Why me? Why me? And then you have to remember, well, actually, like 1,000 people auditioned for this part and they picked me for a reason.
Yes, that's
So
so true.
that's why me. But that's a big struggle that I think I have a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Oh man, I can relate to that so much. It's good. And that's why I love, talking to other people, other actors, because it's good to know that we're not alone in our struggles, and you can still like you can deal with things, but you can still like feel accomplished and move forward and like make things happen despite those feelings of just feeling like, wow, like why me? How did I get here? Like is it supposed to be me? And then like you said, well, you auditioned out of so many people and they chose you. So yes, you are supposed to be here. Just like having to remind yourself of those things is important.
And you know what's important too is that, like, all of people listening to this podcast, or me, like, we're all actors or we're in the industry somehow. So, you've been training, you've been taking classes, you've been doing this for probably a little while, right? So, you have experience. So, sometimes I get on set and I'm like, I know at this point, I'm like, I know that I'm nervous. I know I have imposter syndrome, but I'm just gonna open my mouth and the words are gonna come out. And odds are it's gonna be good because I have done this for X amount of years, And I think that everybody needs to acknowledge that they have done this. You've done this a million times. Even if not, even if you're just starting, you've still done it a few times. And so just like you're nervous, just open your mouth, the words will come out, and it won't be terrible. Like
That's good.
I that's what I try to stress to myself is that, well, it's gonna happen now, whether I'm, ready or not. So just do it.
Right. Do it. Just do it and make it good. That's helpful. Now, I just have a couple more questions and then we'll wrap. This has been really a great conversation.
It's been fun for me, so thank you.
Good, I'm glad. So actors, who want to get better with their craft, what are the things that they need to be doing that you would say they need to be doing on the daily to stay sharp and ready?
I think, well, one thing is just living your life, and trying to. I think one thing that separates a lot of actors, or at least gets you more, I don't know. I started getting more jobs when I was less tense, and that just came with me kind of being less of a tense person in life. I think that confidence is everything, and you can tell when someone's confident and when they're not. So I think that just becoming more in touch with who you are in your real life is going to show up on the screen. So I think that, just growing personally and being confident is very important. But when it comes to actual skills, I think that always, taking a class when you watch TV and movies like the I when Movie Pass was still a thing, I went to the movies like 2 or 3 times a week by myself during the day, because again, I worked at night, so sometimes I had no auditions. I would just say, okay, this movie's playing at 11 a.m. I'm gonna go. And I would do that, and I would just study basically because I was by myself, and I would just watch them and think about how they were portraying certain moments. And so that was kind of like the work I did, watching a ton of movies and watching how people dealt with different things. That and taking class and yeah, just trying to become more comfortable with who I am, because some things, the more you live, the more you can relate with other people that are on the page. When you see something on the page, you're like, oh, I relate to this. I'm not just spending all my time memorizing or thinking about acting, because the people I'm about to play, they're not like that at all. So,
Right. True.
they're doing something else. They're living their lives, and you want to be able to connect. And
Mm-hmm.
so just being comfortable, this is kind of, a hard answer, but it's very true, but it's hard to do other than just say live your life
Right.
and be you and be try to be comfortable with who you are, which is hard, right? I don't think I was comfortable with who I was for a really long
Yeah.
time.
No, I mean,
So,
I'm still working through that. You know what I mean?
yeah.
Like, yeah, still today. So that's
Yeah.
great advice and definitely something that you can do that doesn't take any money. Like
Right,
looking
right.
inside of yourself, being comfortable with who you are, knowing who you are, what you like, what you don't like. These things are really important. It's like doing a self audit of yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think so many times in acting, people ask you to pitch yourself for who you are. What type are you? And that's extremely limiting. And people try, like, even what did I say? I would say, like, I am, kind of just like your girl next door. Like, that's not true. That's not who I am. Like, I'm sarcastic. I'm sporty. Like, I'm really competitive with sports and stuff like that. And that's who I am. I
That's
don't have to,
real.
like, yeah, I don't have to lie and say, or not even lie, just pretend and say, oh, I'm the girl next door, so that's who you should put me up for. Like, no, let me be more comfortable with how competitive I am in soccer, how how sarcastic and funny, what that side of myself, like, let that out. Don't be, don't be what you think you should be. And so that's kind of something that I've come to terms with, like, being more, letting more of myself show through in these tapes, even if it is like a, even if it really is a girl next door type role. Odds are she's got some sort of humor, and I can let my humor show. It doesn't have to be, or you can create it. So it's kind of just like, people don't want to watch an hour and a half of something that's two dimensional. And I think sometimes when you're pitching yourself to agents or something like that, it's a two-dimensional pitch of who you think you are, or what type you are. And I think I would just encourage people to kind of let that go, and just pitch yourself for who you really, really are.
Yeah, no,
So.
because you just even saying those two different ones, like, oh, I'm a girl next door versus no, I'm competitive, I'm sarcastic. That's way more interesting than just the
Yeah.
girl next door because we hear these terms so often from like casting, like you said, types, and we just say, oh, okay, let me see where I fall. Like we put ourselves in a box. We put a
Yeah.
limitation on it. So that's really good advice, just being like, nah, like this is who I really am. I can still be a girl next door who is sarcastic and competitive. And, like I have my own flavor to it. So I think that's
Yes.
really helpful to, and then that makes you stand out, right? And makes you
Right.
memorable too.
Totally. Yep.
Great, great advice. So, okay, my final question, just to kind of wrap it all up, and I'm sure we've covered this, but just to speak to it directly. What would be your biggest piece of advice or tips that you can give actors coming up and, going for their dream? What do you think they need to know about the road ahead?
Yeah, I think that you just have to be persistent, and you have to be your number one fan, because people might be your number one fan for like 2 months, 3 months, a year, and then forget you, and you got to be your number one fan. So when I was, first starting out, there were several things that I did. Like, I made sure I sent, I think it was like 10 emails a day. So sending emails, submitting yourself, self-taping, even just for fun, just to watch what you're doing. Things like that, and know that you're not going to jump. Most likely, you might get lucky, but most likely, you're not going to jump from just starting out to getting a big role on a TV show. And that's okay. That's actually better, because if that had happened to me right when I moved to LA, I would have been terrible. Like, I needed that time to do student films and to grow and to learn how to be on camera, to learn how to act, act around all these people, to learn how to be professional, to learn how to perform under pressure. I needed to go bit by bit, like from student films to little indies to this, and all of a sudden you're here, and you got there because, you built those skills. So I think that being okay with, okay, I'm gonna have to do some work for free because I'm learning, That's the important thing. So persistence and not being down on yourself for not booking a recurring role on an ABC series your first year. Like, know that most likely that might not happen, and most likely that's for your benefit because you've got to do the other things first. So that's what I would really stress, is just putting yourself out there and being okay with the slow build, because sometimes it'll explode and it might explode all at once, and then you're going to be ready for it because you did all these small things. So that's what I would say. Emails, 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 submit, submit, submit. Be okay with the small stuff first, because that's going to help you. And just try to, have some perspective that most actors, it takes a while, right? It takes a while to build any sort of career, whether you're an actor or a lawyer or whatever. Like, you aren't going to be at the top unless you're very, very lucky in acting, for a while. So being okay with that and doing the small things to get you the big things is what I would say.
That's so good. So needed. Like, great reminder. Like, 'cause you start off acting, you're like, oh, my first year, I'm gonna book this, I'm gonna do that, and it's just like, be okay with the slow build, growing, block by block. Like, that's a better path,
It is a better path because then you're going to be better. You will be better, and then people will remember you. I remember when I was younger in high school, I was like, I'm going to be on Law and Order by age 25, because at the time I went home and watched Law and Order like every day. And obviously that never happened. I didn't get on a TV show until I was 27. You know what I'm saying? So it's not going to be like that. And your parents or your family might annoy you to no end. And I had to say, please don't ask me about auditions. I was like, if I have something, I will tell you, but don't ask me about auditions because odds are I'm not going to get the part. So I don't want to have to talk about it. And setting boundaries like that is really good.
Like, I'll tell you what's going on.
Exactly. I will tell you if something happens. Otherwise, just assume that I'm doing the work because I am. So,
So
yeah.
true. And then finally, I want to give you space. Like, if there's anything, you want to share, or something you want to that you're working on that you want to talk about, or and also let people know where they can find you, keep up with you on social media. Well, just want to give you space.
Gosh, I'm trying to think. I mean, this has been such an insane year. And it's been a year that has taught me that I need to again do things for myself. So, last year I wrote a feature, and I had never really written anything before, and I just was like, well, I've got this time and I have this idea that I've had for 5 years and I haven't done anything about it, so why not do it now? So
That's a big
it's been a
deal.
yeah it's been a
Congratulations.
thank you. I hope to be able to do something with it soon. But I think that one thing I would say is just, you have a lot more to offer than just being an actor. And so chances are that if you've been auditioning a lot, that means you've read a lot of scripts. Or even if you're not auditioning a lot, you can read a lot of scripts, so you might have other skills that you didn't know, like writing, or something else that you can do in these down periods. That's something I've certainly had to learn. But I do have, so I did work on a film in 2020 that they're looking for distribution, so we're hoping that that'll be out there. It's called Amy and Peter Are Getting Divorced. And I'm really, really proud of that. So hopefully that'll be somewhere out there soon. And then, I'm just auditioning. I'm back to the grind of trying to get that next job. Starting from zero, it feels like, because I'm still at the point where I've got, nothing is offered to me. So I gotta go out there and win it every time. And so, that I'm grinding away, just as I'm sure most people listening to this are. And yeah, I use Instagram. My username is Caro Hart Harris. Hart is Hart, which is just part of my middle name. And I try to keep people up to date with like what work stuff is going on, but also just some personal stuff there. And That's it, Mel. I'm just trying to think. I'm like, do I have anything upcoming other than that one film that's looking for distribution?
That's great, though. That's
But
awesome.
yeah, just back to trying to win that next part.
Yes, well, I'm definitely rooting for you. I'm excited to just keep up with you and your journey and to finish, bruh. I don't know. I
Yeah.
think I might be. I don't know if I'm in the last, because I think I ended on I'm about to go into episode 13. So I don't know
Okay.
if you're any
You got a
more.
ways to go.
I got a ways to
I'm in
go.
more towards the end, towards
Okay.
the end. And
Yeah.
season two just came out
I
now,
know. It came out on the
so you
27th.
got to
That's why
catch up.
I'm like working hard to catch it. I got two kids. I got this podcast. So I'll always be
I
trying to find time. I'm like, let me go watch it. Like, watch like three episodes. I'll be right back.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah. So, it has been a pleasure talking to you, getting to know you and your story. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'm definitely going to be keeping up with your journey and rooting for you along the way. So, thank you again.
Thank you, Mel.
All
It's been
right.
great. So thank you.
Yes, no problem. Well, you have a good rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right, take
Bye-bye.
care. Bye.